Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
So these are very unusual times, but God is still in control and God is still on the throne. You know, now's the time for us to be brave, girls. Now is the time for us to remember what we learned 5 years ago when we looked at the topic of how to be brave. And I want you to remember and to go back to those notes and to apply those notes to your lives to be who God says you are, that you are the brave girls who look up. You're the brave girls who walk tall. You know, what we are facing reminds us of the time when Jesus was with the disciples in a boat and they were crossing a lake, and immediately a storm arose. And we are in a storm right now, aren't we? Things are looking so uncertain. But you know what? I'm going to read to you from Mark 4:37 and encourage you from this message with these words. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, speaking of Jesus. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was awe and great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I've entitled tonight's message, "Peace, be still." I believe that is the word of God to us. God is saying, "Peace be still, my child. Yes, I do care. I am in control. I am all powerful. I am the Prince of Peace." Psalm 46 verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." And, you know, when we look in the book of Philippians, where we've been visiting this year as a sister's ministry, we see what Paul says we should do in times of trouble. Philippians 4 from verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And here it comes. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And my first thought this evening is peace with God is the result of faith in Christ. I'm very sad when I meet people who don't have faith in Christ, because faith is something that is possible for every person on the planet to have. God has made it possible. And we see here what happens when you do have faith in Christ and what happens when you don't have faith in Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 reads, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," if I can just stop there, to be justified means just as if I have never sinned. So therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace doesn't focus on the absence of trouble. It is unrelated to our circumstances. It is a goodness of life that is not touched by what happens on the outside. You may be in the midst of a great trial, and still you can have biblical peace. Now, for those who know and love Christ, John 14, 24 onwards reads, "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." It's as simple as that. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The peace of God and the presence of God of peace comes through right praying. You know, you must have faith in Christ, then the peace of God comes. Secondly, correct and right praying. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, God will supply my need with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, it's not just praying, because I've spoken to people who don't know Jesus and they've said things like, I pray every day, but the reality is there's a specific way God wants us to pray. I loved what Dr. Mensah Audible said when he was with us recently. He said, God does not answer prayer according to its intensity. God answers prayer according to its alignment with his purposes. No matter how hard you stamp your feet or the fist you make at the devil, you see, there's an understanding for some believers or non-believers, it's a certain way that you're going to pray. It's going to be loud. It's going to be, you know, doing all kinds of rituals. But the reality is, no, that's not how God works. You know, we read about Daniel in the Old Testament, and we can learn a lot from the prayer that Daniel prayed. You know, there was a terrible life-threatening situation in the book of Daniel when Daniel refused to bow to King Darius. And let's just read what happened in Daniel chapter 6 from verse 10, just a shortened version of that whole story. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, in other words, that the decree to bow down to this king, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he has done before. You know, no wonder he had such peace in that lion's den. I'd like to think that the lion were more afraid of Daniel than he was of the lion, because of who God was to him. Amen. Jesus taught on prayer, and I love that Jesus taught us how. When the disciples asked him, Lord, how should we pray? Because for many people, they struggle with prayer. But you know, we read in Matthew 6, from verse 6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then it goes on to say from verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, the correct way to pray, from what Jesus taught, is to worship God. Not to just run into his presence and demand peace from him, but to understand there is this relationship that goes on between God and his children. He's a dad. He's a father. We should feel safe to approach him and to go to him and worship him and adore him and to know him and to honor him and, you know, not use prayer as a demand from God Almighty for what we want. Something sometimes that is a selfish prayer is not always going to be answered and certainly will not bring peace to our lives. You know, we must bow our heads before him in worship. And let him search our hearts and our minds and humble ourselves. Next, we bring our requests, the earnest, sincere desire of the heart. True prayer, I believe, comes from the heart, not even from the lips. What a joy it is to present our requests to him. Then there is the appreciation and thanksgiving. Always the thank you. That is exactly what Daniel did. He thanked the Lord in advance and he praised him, not for the circumstances. We are not praising God for this virus. We are praising God in the circumstances because he is still God and he's still in control and he's still on the throne. We read in Colossians 3 verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. That is such an important component about the Christian life, is the prayer. Amen? And then thirdly, the peace of God and the presence of the God of peace will come when believers practice right thinking. Oh my goodness, we as a church, we know how we have been taught about our thinking. Amen? It is so important that our thinking is right. Isaiah 26 verse 3, it says, you, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Can I encourage you during this time where our thoughts can run away with us, where fear can set in, that we replace that with faith and we keep our eyes on who God says that he is. Amen. The reason we should not panic right now is because it's not healthy. Amen. It's not healthy for us. But if our minds are on his goodness, we will have peace. Never forget who your Father in heaven is. Never forget his goodness. Focus on the goodness of God. Amen. And so Paul says in Philippians 4 from verse 8, when he encourages us, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, right things, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Yes, it's true, there is a virus, but it's also true, there's a God in heaven who is above all things. Amen. Counter every negative thought with who God is and what he says and what he has done for you before. Never forget the story of David, who had such confidence in God because of what he experienced as a son of God. When he stood before the giant, he said, you know what? The God who helped me kill the lion and the bear will also help me to kill this giant. And I believe that we start killing the giant of this virus in our thinking and in our minds and in our faith in the Lord and in our right praying and understanding that God's promises are so real to the believer, we can go to the bank with those promises. Amen. And then my last thought is, peace comes through right living. Peace comes when we live right. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church and he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul was not a perfect man, but he was sold out to God and to the purposes of God. So no leaders or pastors are perfect either. But they are called to be an example to those who follow them. And I pray that as a church, we are the example that you need to follow and that we are the ones who point you constantly, which I believe we do, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his goodness, to his purposes, to his promises, amen, to his presence. And we are here to encourage you, especially during this difficult time. We read in Isaiah 32 that the work of righteousness will be peace In other words, right living will bring forth peace and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. You know, there's a difference to how people who know Jesus lives to those who have no hope. We have a hope, and the way that we live is to bring honor to Him. And the way that we live is to be obedient to Him. And, you know, I love that Warren Wiersbe said, it's not enough to use the Bible as a basis for praying and claiming its promises. We must also use it as a basis for our living, obeying its precepts. The peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds if we but meet the conditions He gives. It's not our will be done, but His will be done. By all means, be in the Word, stand on the promises, read the Word, devour the Word. But can I encourage you? Be hearers of the Word and doers. You know, too many Christians in this time is quite opinionated about the Word of God. And it's pretty sad because the Word of God will never change. God and His Word are one. So when you read something in the Word, don't try and find something else from the Word to make it okay to do what God has not called you to do. I want to encourage you, particularly at this time. I really believe that God will use this time to get through to people and to speak to people about their walk and their devotion with the Lord. I don't believe this virus comes from God. I don't believe God is judging the earth. I believe this is a demonic attack to keep people out of church, to get people to be financially stranded, to stop us from communicating with each other, except now, thank goodness for social media. It has its good points, and thank goodness for technology. Amen? But I believe this is the time when we need to run to God more than ever, to listen to what He wants, to hear His heart. Amen? I love that it says in Matthew 7:24, it says, everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. It rained hard, but the floods came and the winds blew and hit that house, but it did not fall because it was built on rock. Amen. It is so important to be able to get this peace that God has to offer to us by doing things the way that He wants us to do them. I trust that you've been encouraged this evening, and I just want to recap. Peace comes through knowing Jesus Christ. Peace comes through praying the way He has taught us to pray. Peace comes through correct thinking, and peace comes through correct living. And so I believe God is saying to you, peace, my child, peace, my daughters. Trust me at this time. I'm in the boat with you. It may seem as if now I'm not listening to your prayers, and it may seem as if I am asleep, but I want to assure you, says the Lord, I am awake, I am aware, and I love you and I care for you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.